Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
But what happened today, because there's knowledge and Google on it, the people who were designed by God, we tend to reduce God to our image and limiting him in the midst of bites and stuff like that, or all kind of created algorithms and stuff like that, trying to reduce God to what we think. Even if you're smart and intelligent, you can't be in defiance to the will of God or the purpose of God and say you operate in wisdom.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to the Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida. Today, Bishop Clark continues the Position for the Promise series. Join us for part 5 of the message, 30 Wisdom Keys.
Amen. Can we say it? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Good prayer for the people of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So where did your knowledge start? With an ABC book or with green eggs and ham from Dr. Seuss? Or did it start with A, B, C, D, E, F, G, the alphabet, arithmetic, basic science, English, and history? Or did your wisdom, your knowledge, start with the wisdom of God? It doesn't matter where you are in the spectrum of learning. The scripture says the beginning of wisdom or knowledge, the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To reverence the Lord is where we should all start, which simply means nothing really equates to your knowledge base or is added to you as a person until you begin to reverence the Lord. Some of us, it happened later in life. For some of us, it happened younger. Regardless of what you've had to endure, God says you begin to gain knowledge when you begin to fear me. And so Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, or the opening. I want you to look at that, the opening of knowledge. Knowledge should open up. A lot of times, knowledge is almost like a radio wave. It is coming out, but if you're not on the right channel, you'll never pick it up. Of the Lord, the opening, not only the beginning, but to open you up, to abathai you, to where God can speak in such a way where you can hear, understand, and then engage. So remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the opening of a wide chasm for you to step through. It is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise. The scripture says fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so here you'll see in the book of Proverbs, as the Lord begins to lay out wisdom keys, he'll use the contrast between wisdom and foolishness. I know it's vogue today to call someone a fool, and we don't do that. We don't walk up to people and say, you're a fool. But you need to understand the contrast. If you're not walking in wisdom, the scripture is basically saying that you're walking or operating in foolishness. This verse gives us some added insight, to the opposition in the verse. The opposition as it relates to the parallel, the opposing parallelism in this verse. Notice the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or knowledge. That's positive. And then he comes back in the same verse, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So a person may be smart and still be foolish if you despise wisdom, especially when she is presented to you and when it's time to discipline yourself to accomplish, because wisdom doesn't make it easy for her instructor, her proteges. She says if you're going to be successful, you got to get on up. She says if you're going to stop the enemy, you got to learn how to be quiet. She says love your enemies, or at least ask for forgiveness before the sun goes down on your wrath. And so we have a tendency of saying, I'll get to you when I get to you. But wisdom says if you don't move within 24 hours, what you feel and what you say may become concrete in your soul or a stronghold. Now it takes us extra effort to try to fix you. when all you had to do is when it just was topical on you is to ask for forgiveness or to forgive. And so this verse, Proverbs 1:7, gives us some added insight with its opposing parallelism in the verse, which says the beginning of knowledge is wisdom or the fear of the Lord, and fools hate, they despise that kind of instruction or wisdom and discipline. A wise person fears. Another word for fear is reverence. A wise person will fear or reverence, even obey the Lord. But a fool will despise reverence, obeying, and the fear of the Lord, or will despise God's instruction and cannot be told what to do. And that is, when someone is bringing you some knowledge, you say, I don't want to hear that. Right? That Bible says that kind of attitude is foolishness to him. When wisdom comes to your door, you need to listen to her knocking and let her in. A wise person fears, reverences, or obeys the Lord. Fools will despise it. Glory to God. Will despise it every single time and don't want instruction or don't want to be told what to do. We're living in a society now where there's a whole lot of foolishness out there, because as soon as you begin to instruct people, even young guys out there, they can be teenagers today. They don't want to hear all that. I don't want to hear. I already know. No, you don't know. And you're going to know faster in the opposing viewpoint if you don't really get what God is trying to give to you today. Believe me, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I choose to bow it willingly. The wise person is wise because he has started, look at this, at the starting point. It wouldn't make sense to, if the starting point is 1 mile, is the starting point to a 1 mile run is here, you go 2 miles back to start. That wouldn't make any sense. So if you're going to move forward, you need to be able to go to the starting line to start a 1 mile run, so you at least have an opportunity to win. Or to finish strong. The scripture says the starting line for wisdom or knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And what the wise person is wise because they choose to start on the starting line. They choose to say, wherever God says start, even if it conflicts with me, I'll start right there. So that starting place is important. And fools have no foundation. They have no foundation or institution to really sit in and learn from. They have no institution, foundation, institution, foundation, institution of learning. They have no institution of learning on which to build, to grow, and to expand or develop your wisdom. Notice the foundation of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Glory to God. And the reason why a person is wise is because they choose to start their life, their day, their life on the starting line. And so that foundation is important. Start on the foundation or the starting line. And when you do that, you become a partner with the institution that helps you to build, grow, and develop your wisdom. Now, wisdom is already developed, but what she does is sow seeds of wisdom in you. And if you flow with her, if you move with her, if you listen to her, you'll start seeing the seed of wisdom grow in your life as well. The Bible is clear in Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. I want you to read that in your leisure. They may flash it up, but it speaks on those who neither glorify God nor gave thanks to God, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts, the scripture says, were darkened. So some people would think, if I can choose it or take it or leave it as it relates to wisdom, but if you fail to give God thanks or to embrace wisdom when she appears, the Bible says something naturally began to happen. Almost like if God says we are the salt of the earth, the salt must get out of the salt container to impact what it was designed to do. There must be contact. There must be contact from the salt. The salt must get out and lay down on something to stop the decomposition process or to cause it to continue to grow. Here, If you don't put salt on it, it's going to decay. And what we see here for the take it or leave it believers or people in our world who neither glorify God or give thanks to God or choose to play around when word is being preached or to have a conversation, texting and doing other things versus listening to the word. The Bible says their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, a decomposition takes place when we won't receive the instruction from the Lord. Although they claim, the scripture says, to be wise, they can put that back on the screen, they became foolish. So remember, all they did is didn't glorify God and move with his instruction to start on the starting line. The Bible says a decomposition begins to take place. Their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were dark. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And this is the description of people who really try to obtain wisdom while ignoring God's starting line or ignoring his institution. Or ignoring, glory to God, his instruction. It cannot be done for the simple reason that God is the source of all wisdom. And so if you want wisdom, you can't turn away from him and think you're going to get it. He is the source of the object of our faith. He is the object of our wisdom. The two are of the first order, which means they were here before we got here. And he has released faith in the earth and released wisdom in the earth for the betterment of his people. You can't get it without him. So start where he tells you to start, and believe me, you will win. The link between the fear of God and the wisdom of God is inseparable. It means we cannot possess wisdom or recreate God in our own image. Let me say it again. The wisdom of God, the link between the fear of God and the wisdom of God is inseparable. God says the beginning of wisdom is fear or reverence for me, obedience to me. And we cannot possess wisdom if we recreate God in our image. Remember, we were created in his image. But what's happening now is people are trying to reduce God to their image and don't have the wisdom of God. Remember, anybody who designed the computer, whether it was IBM or Dell or any one of the computer designers, and then the software to go in it, they're not in the computer themselves, limited by its space. The designer stands outside of it and can look at it and use it. Well, God made the world. He's not limited by the world. He's not reduced to what the world can do. The computer can't pick up legs and walk, but the one who designed it can use it, stop it, set it down, shut it down, go home, drink some tea, hang out, go on a vacation, come back and use it when he will. Okay, but what happened today, because there's knowledge and Google on it, the people who were designed by God, we tend to reduce God to our image and limited him in the midst of bytes and stuff like that, or all kind of created algorithms and stuff like that, trying to reduce God to what we think. Even if you're smart and intelligent, you can't be in defiance to the will of God or the purpose of God and say you operate in wisdom. I think I'm preaching to the right person or the right people. So we must make sure that we understand that we can't reduce God to our image. When you do that, you're taking away the big G God and putting a small G there. Too many people want to tame God. Too many people want to tame God into a non-threatening image. He's not going to bother me. God is all right with me. God is okay with me. They can defy wisdom, defy teaching, defy anything, do what they want to do, and it's going to work out all right. But we got to redefine that. We need to redefine that. And so God is not a small G God. He's big and large and in charge. And he doesn't want us to always feel comfortable with him. Even though the Holy Spirit is here, wisdom is here accompanying us, our God is a consuming fire as well. And why are you saying that, Bishop? Because I believe the Lord wants me to push a little bit this take it or leave it mentality as it relates to God in this generation, where we can just do what we will. We need to get to a point where we're not absent of the fear of the Lord. Don't feel too comfortable with that. Like God is your buddy. Me and God. I talked to God. I told God what I wanted. You hear that a lot. Well, I was praying. I told God. I told him, or did I ask him? The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock. There's a little reverence there. And the door. Why would I knock on somebody's door and I don't respect them? I would just open up and walk in. I don't care about what you think. If you got it like that with God. But he says, ask. And you will receive. Seek with the pursuit, with the intent of capturing God, and you will find. And if you knock, give some reverence. He opened. How do you knock in the spirit? You worship. Your worship knocks on doors. Hallelujah. Good God from Zion. And when you knock on those doors, they will open up. Heaven is full of windows and doors and access points and dimensions. Scripture says it clear in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, Jesus said, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, we hear it in the King James, are many mansions. But the interpretation is many rooms. Many rooms. The church is a big house with many rooms. So you may have the house with Delgado down there and Truth Revealed here. Walk down that corridor and go into a room that you can fit in, but get into the house. Glory to God. And wisdom is like that, a big house. It's an institution. Come in. She's welcoming you in so you can learn. And when you go back out, you'll be equipped to handle every circumstance. The Lord Almighty God is far greater than being reduced to a little G God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hallelujah. I want you to make sure you put God in a majestic state. Make sure he's powerful. Let's add to that all powerful and all knowing. Revelations 4 is clear. I love John the Revelator and what he says in Revelations 4 verse 11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power forever. For you created all things. So we're not talking about somebody who just died on the cross. We're talking about someone who created everything. And if you just look in the stars, think about that. When you go out there tonight, just look up and look at the stars. Count them if you will. Each one of them may represent some type of supernova. I'm talking about that burns with fire unquenchable or with heat that would consume all flesh. Who put all of those things up there? The Bible says, what is man that you will be mindful of him? That you would create out of all of that space up there a world and then create a man. We don't see human beings on Mars, Venus, Jupiter. We don't see human beings anywhere but on Earth. Just far enough away that we don't get too cold to kill us. And not too close so we don't burn up. But right in the right orbit. Who hung that? Well, I just heard in my class, my science class, that there was a Big Bang theory. And there's evolution. See, we all come from monkeys. Well, if you want to believe that, can a 747 jet come from a crash site and somehow or another get put together without a designer? Are you serious? Can a building come out of ash on its own? Ah, help me, Lord. Let's go back to the jet. You mean to tell me in a junkyard with all of that stuff, we can take wind and somehow or another without a designer, put a jet together that can house 200 people, its crew, and fly to the other end of the world successfully coming through a Big Bang? Do you really believe this? Do you believe that's possible? And if you believe it would take a designer to create a man-made thing to be successfully able to take people from one side of the world to the next, you have to believe That there's somebody to make sure all of that water out there in the Atlantic Ocean doesn't overrun us. That he creates boundaries. He set the boundary for it by hanging that moon up there that balances things out. And I'll keep moving. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created. And by your will they were created and have their being. So I want to know the one who creates. I want to know by your will they were created. I want to know, what does it take to know your will and to understand what you will for me, since you're the one who created it all, and by you all things come into being. Let's go to Job chapter 42, and I want to encourage you to read verses chapter 42 to the end of the book as something to go over this week. Job 42 verse 1, 2, and 3. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. And I would long to see more of God's people come through hell and high water with this knowledge. Not just I made it. I look back over my shoulder and I made it. But why don't we get to a point where we are able to do like Job and respond this way. I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. In other words, when you purpose to do it, nobody can stop it. Look at the word you ask. Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? In other words, he's saying to Job, how do you square yourself off to say something to me about what I do? That's basically, let's put it down where the goats can get it. He's saying to Job, who do you think you are to question me about my business? Surely I've spoke of things I did not understand. That's what Job is saying. Surely I ran my mouth and I should have been quiet when it comes to questioning you. Look at the word. I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me. When is the last time you got to the point where you said, I just don't know how to figure this out? Yeah. Or do you believe like you got an answer for everything? We got to get to the point where Jesus is majestic. God is awesome. God is high and lifted up in his train filled the temple. When I saw the Lord, he was high. And angels were flying around saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. We're not going to get to the point that we understand that he spoke in sundry times to the prophets about who he is. But now Hebrews 1 is speaking through his only son, who is the express image of the Father's person. By him he holds all things, but holds all things up by the word of his power. When are we going to read Colossians chapter 2 that talks about thrones and dominions and principalities had to bow to him when he came from the dead? We got to get to the point where God is high and lifted up in his train fields, and we say, yes, Lord. Glory to God. He's given us his wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom. The Lord shows Job a glimpse of his power. And I want you to read from chapter 38 to 41. And then we came from chapter 42. But read from 38 to 41. He's going to show Job this and will become your friend. Of his power. And we need to see that. Have God high and lifted up. And then wisdom will become your friend. When wisdom is not your friend, it means God is not in his rightful place of being majestic and enthralled, hallelujah, and magnified in your life. What do you do with all this knowledge, this inspiration, this training, this information, this teaching, the unction that you have in your spirit? What do you do with it all? I hear the word of the Lord coming to me saying, apply it. Apply it. Apply it. Apply the instruction. Apply the training. Apply the inspiration. Apply the unction of the Holy Ghost. Do something with it. If he gave you revelation, can you apply it to your daily life? Here is the law of growth and development, or the order of growth and expansion. And that is, when you learn something, you put it into practice immediately. You don't have to wait until the trial is over. As soon as you learn something, put it into practice.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message from the Position for the Promise series, 30 Wisdom Keys, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2201-1207. That's reference number 2201-1207. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with Truth Revealed International Ministries. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with Trim Nation by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. The Truth Revealed app is available on Android and Apple mobile devices. Services can also be watched on Facebook, YouTube, Apple TV, and Roku. Follow Trim Nation on social media by logging into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visiting us on the web at truthrevealed.org. While you are on the website, keep an eye out for current events. Also join us in celebrating the release of Bishop Clark's new book, The Comforter, Experiencing the Strength and Power of the Holy Spirit. Follow Bishop Merton Clark as he leads you through a scriptural understanding of the mission of Jesus. You will be inspired to intently desire to be baptized and filled with Holy Spirit and come to know Him intimately as the Comforter. The book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and nearly anywhere books are sold online. Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.